Ready or not, here we come back into orbit in the podcast of the Cat Cave. What a journey. We have been on some wild adventures, including going through a once-in-a-lifetime totality of an eclipse here. And in the celebration of all of these changes, the embrace change keeps embracing changes. The only thing constant around here is the changes.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are some of these changes that are changing?
Well, there's all kinds of fun stuff. We've got mental changes, physical changes, spiritual changes, total outlook changes, relation changes, all kinds of good stuff.
Yes, there's a lot of emotional changes, psychological changes, cellular changes, blood changes. Our relationship even with gravity has changed.
Yeah, it really has.
There's a whole new level of a whole new world, whether it's the relations that we're in or the role that we're in those relations. The outlook is the inlook.
Yeah.
It is taking us deep within us to really embrace all of these changes.
Yep, it really has. And it's really interesting to see how your outlook changes after such a drastic physical change and all the things that come along with that. Things that they don't tell you about. Nobody thinks, oh, you lose all this weight and your mental outlook's going to change, or your emotional outlook's going to change, or the way you see yourself is going to change, not on a physical level, but more of a mental, emotional level. Looking at yourself in the mirror and not recognizing the person you see. It isn't all about what the physical shows.
Yes. And it's about the light and the dark of both of that. It's that inner critic and that inner child emergence, all of this pieces and parts of us that are awakening to this new reality of embracing these changings.
Yeah. And losing the weight is a fantastic thing. It's a fantastic accomplishment. It physically is so much lighter, for lack of a better term. But it's forcing us to look at the inside. We looked at the physical for so long because we didn't like what we saw, or at least I didn't like what I saw in me. And that's what I saw was the physical. Now the physical is changing and I'm happier with what I see there. But it's causing me to take and really look and go, well, if I'm not enough on the inside, 175 pounds plus down, and I wasn't enough on the inside, 175 pounds heavier, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do I need to do to make sure that I like what I see inside and out?
Yes, this has enlightened me. You mentioned the word lighter, and I no longer distract with the light.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I'm lighting stuff up, it is intentional. It is conscious. It is a more aware state. And I choose not to use the word losing weight. I am relinquishing it. I am sacredly letting it go at this point, and I am grateful for all that I am gaining. And this is in a new space of letting the weight go creates more space for new things to gain.
Mm-hmm.
And so allowing what is no longer to serve me, the cigarettes, the donuts, the distractions, the caffeine on, you know, and allowing new things to come in.
It's not just about letting the weight go in the physical. It's about letting the mental and emotional and spiritual weight that we carried around go too.
Yes.
And people have that whether they're 480 pounds or whether they're 120 pounds. People don't realize that.
Right.
just because we had the physical weight, we also had the emotional, the mental, the spiritual weight.
And it's like a domino effect. You...
It really is. The more the physical weight changes, the more the physical pounds are released and relinquished, the more the emotional, mental, spiritual weight started showing through. What that really was weighing, how much that really was weighing on us.
Yes, and that weight is a burden. It created bitterness in a lot of ways. It is all of this negativity, and it is having to alchemize and transmute as we are shedding this skin, as we are shedding this weight, as we are, all of these things come up too. It's like, oh, what about this that you aren't feeling? What about that you aren't seeing? And so we're also dancing with those dramas and dilemmas, as well as finding space and time for the celebration.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to celebrate. There's definitely a lot to be thankful for. Since January of 23, when we did this, when we actually had the surgery, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of tough conversations, a lot of really taking a look at what we had allowed to become our reality, not just physical pounds, but what we had allowed to become our reality mentally, emotionally, vibrationally, spiritually, even the relationship between us.
Right.
And I'm not saying that all of those things were bad. It's just there's aspects of that we weren't even seeing was an issue because we were too focused on what the other issue was, what the physical issue was.
Right. Growth opportunities.
Growth opportunities. Exactly. And by losing the weight, all the doctors would tell us, at least tell me, was, oh, all your problems are because you're physically overweight. No, not all my problems were because I was physically overweight. They were being amplified by the physical weight.
Yes.
But they were not all because of the physical weight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were the mental weight and anguish of past traumas that caused the physical weight to increase, which compounded the issues. But it wasn't necessarily, oh, you're just overweight, that's all your problem. Because now that we're losing this weight, relinquishing this weight, shedding this weight, other weight showed up.
Mm-hmm. Hidden in all the other weight.
Hidden in all the other layers. Literally layers.
Yeah, literally layers.
And it really is forcing us to take a hard look at what we've got going on and be able to celebrate those changes now that we can see what the issue truly was.
It is a new conscious celebration. It is celebrating our consciousness and allowing...
And consciously celebrating.
Exactly. And that takes courage.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And it's part of the ego, too.
Oh, yeah. It's a big part of the ego.
People feel, at least I've always felt, well, consciously celebrating is egotistic. It's cocky. It's
I am learning that it needs to be celebrated to allow your light to shine. And ego wants to dim the light. And most of the time we are blowing out our own light with doubt or fear or different frequencies that do not amplify what is really wanting to be celebrated consciously.
Yep.
And the removal of the ego, or at least honoring it, listening to it, because it does have wisdom.
Yeah, ego does have wisdom and does have a purpose. It has a place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about looking at it and deciding, well, actually, if you really look at it, believing that we're not worthy of celebrating the successes is egotistical in and itself.
Yes. So it's finding the harmony in honoring all of
it. Mm-hmm. And the balance in it.
coming from a Libra, I definitely knew that that would come through. The Taurus bull in me, it likes to sometimes plow through things. Just move it. Let's move it, groove it, or I stand completely still. And I'm learning that dance of when not to bulldoze through and when to allow space.
Yeah.
Just because I have relinquished some space and weight does not give me permission to plow through it and plow through something else.
Well, there is a time and space to plow through things. It's not always a negative, or shouldn't always be a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
There's times that plowing through or breaking through something is the only way to get through it.
Yeah.
You can't go around it, and you can't go over it, and you can't go under it.
Yes.
So there are times that you have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see that difference and see the time that it is required to go through it and what time maybe there's a gentler solution.
Yes, because grief comes in so many frequencies and so many processes and layers. And the grief that emerges is when old healing techniques and self-soothing, I wouldn't say that they're healthy. Eating food is nourishing. However, if it's not done.
Consciously eating food is nourishing.
Unconsciously
eating food gets you to be where I was.
Yes. So the grief process or this conscious, unconscious tango with eating unlimited tacos versus honoring the one taco that I really get to enjoy and allowing myself to try new things too and being conscious of what can come into my body as a nourishing source. It's allowing that process to really come into that secret sauce recipe and fighting all great things in moderation. I love that the constant changes is teaching this Taurus how to tango with change. It hasn't been easy. I've come in, like Miley would say, came in like a wrecking ball at moments. And
yep. Yep. But you're learning from it.
Yes. And I'm learning that the mirror ball is the disco ball. And as I light little lights up, it can really create an effect that shines forth. In this awakening of shining forth, I keep asking, well, what do we do now? We used to just go out to a restaurant and eat and go on a date night. So now it's finding new fun ways to really celebrate. And yes, we were able to go to a wonderful restaurant on the lake, enjoy a wonderful meal. And then Friday night came and I wanted to go on a date again. However, I didn't want to just be tied to going to a restaurant to eat because it no longer is as fulfilling as it used to be.
No, it's not. It really isn't. We used to eat food as a coping mechanism. We were living to eat. Now, we eat to live.
Yeah, that's a big change.
And there's a huge difference there. Absolutely huge. One is healthy and the other one is not so healthy. And it's now finding ways of spending the time together, doing the things that we want to do, and not having to tie it only to, well, we need to go eat.
Yes.
We're going to go out. We're just going to go eat. And I think it had gotten to the point that, at least for me, it's all that I could do. It had reached a point that going and doing anything other than getting the car, sit, drive to a restaurant, get out, go into the restaurant, sit, eat food, come out, get in the car, sit. Those were what I was looking for. Going for a walk, going to, you know, the park, going to do anything that required any type of physical exertion was now off the menu, for lack of a better term.
Yes. And I'm finding the liberation in that. I'm finding that we are creating this new opportunity. So we go out to a fun restaurant here in town with a girlfriend. We hang out. We have a good time. And we were asked, where would you like to sit? And there's three of us. And we used to specifically ask for a table and chairs. And now we're like, let's try a booth. Yes, we could all fit in a booth. And you and I could sit next to each other and have plenty of space.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finding liberation not only in when we do go out, we are consciously going out. We are conscious of these new changes. We are celebrating with community when we go out to restaurants, and it's fun.
It's more exciting to go out and go into a restaurant and ask for a booth.
Yes.
Because it's something that we were not able to do.
And I do hear the song from Ellie Goulding, anything is possible.
Anything could happen.
Yes, anything can happen. And it is happening. And we are finding a way to do other things as well, like have the fire pits in the backyard. You took me to a rose farm.
Yeah.
I got to go and get tickets to a local rose farm. And when I got there, it was enchanted. It was beautiful day. And then I got to turn in my ticket for a rose bush, and we got to bring it home and plant it. And the beautiful message that we received during that adventure is the permission to play and bloom where we are planted.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. Because we moved here in, what, 21?
Mm-hmm.
And by 22, we had decided that, to heck with this, we were done. We didn't want to be here anymore. We wanted to go back where we came from and leave this all behind. And if we hadn't have stayed, I don't think we would have had the surgery. I don't think we would have followed through with that.
Yes, I definitely see there is a reason why we are here in Texas. We are in a small community that is growing the fastest in the nation. We see that wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
While we were in North Idaho, they expanded a growth spurt. We're planted here now. It's expanding at a growth spurt.
But there's, now that we're doing what we're doing, with the podcast, with the coaching, with the trucking company, with your book, this growth of this market is exactly what we need to get in and make it really succeed.
And that's where we are. And where we connect to the community, we are seeing others blooming where they are planted in their gardens. And I love seeing the others tend to their garden. Therefore, as we are tending to our garden, we are seeing the seeds of opportunity that we are planting because we made space for them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they are consciously planted for business purposes, consciously planted for playtime. And that is the other thing is, yes, as we make space in our reality, I am looking at expanding as a artist and an author.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been asking for that clarity. Am I really ready? Is the world ready for this? Am I ready for this world and this artist author that's wanting to emerge and become out of this change? And when we were driving home from the celebration, I heard the turn, look to the right, and I look at the right at the stop sign, and you know I don't like stoplights. That slows me down.
Mm-hmm.
We have a song called The Green Lights. I'm always about driving through the green lights.
Mm-hmm.
If we get to the stoplight, if it's red, turn, just turn, keep driving, don't stop. And I do a California stop signs. I get that from, you know, my dad.
California.
Yeah, in California. And it is what it is. So we are stopped at a stoplight. And I'm having a beautiful experience with my girlfriend. And I hear, look to the right. And over to the right, I see the sign, the artist gallery. And I'm like, ooh, that is new. That's a new sign. Well, I love signs. Why? Because the angels talk to me in signs. Why? Because some of our dads are sign painters. It's all about the signs and the signs. It's all another thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when the sign says an art gallery, I go to our friend Google in my pocket and go, hey, Google, what's this? And Google says, come tonight. We're having an art party. So when I get home, I ask you for a spontaneous art day, a Friday night art day. Now, that's not normally your cup of tea.
Still isn't.
Still isn't. Okay. But you did.
But I did.
And history hasn't always been my cup of tea, but I do.
That's because you got to go to Hawaii because of it.
Yeah, that's true. History unlocks a lot, and art unlocks a lot.
It does. And there's a lot of history in art, and there's a lot of art in history.
Yes. That's that echo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so as we echo with the art in the history, we're seeing the signs, we're Googling it to make sure we're seeing the signs.
Right.
And then it says, come and have a party with us. About what? Celebration of aspiring artists. And I get to participate possibly in July. I received the invitation to showcase a piece of my art. And we'll see what Embrace Change art comes to be embraced.
Right.
Because that's a lot for me.
That's a lot for anyone. It's not just you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're opening yourself up to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point.
Mm-hmm.
True artists put themselves in their work,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're having a piece of your art judged, you're essentially having a piece of yourself being judged. And that's not an easy thing to do. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of working through your own doubts and your own insecurities to be able to say, okay, I'll allow you to judge my piece. I'll allow you to judge the piece that I gave of myself. And that's not an easy thing.
So as we learn to take on these new roles and allow these new healing opportunities and growth opportunities to pop up in the garden, some show up as weeds, but some show up as beautiful seeds that were planted as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's about tending to both.
Yep.
The light and the dark, the good and the bad. It's truly a dance of duality. So as we dance forth, we are embracing lots of changes, and they come in so many different ways. The in look, the inward look, and how that shines outward. The emotions, how that feels on the inside, and how does that ripple and flood into the outside? What are the physical changes? And even with the physical changes, there's the good and the bad. Because even though we're making awesome, amazing accomplishments of the quantum level, it is still showing symptoms.
It always will to some degree.
Mm-hmm. The psychological, the mental, and all of that is a dance in itself. And being a mental health patient, it is how many tools in the tool belt do I need to be juggling with? There is a lot of juggle psychological. However, it is also allowing gravity to just take its course.
Right.
And surrendering. There's a lot of surrendering in that ego of allowing it to alchemize naturally and honor the grief process.
You mean not being in control of it?
Oh, what control? You're not talking to a control freak.
Not at all.
No, never. Not me. But it's definitely an out of control situation at this point.
Control is an illusion.
Yeah.
You don't have any control over anything.
No.
The only control you have is how you react to the situation at hand.
Yes.
There is absolutely no control other than that.
No.
You can control how you react. You can control how you feel. You can control how you let other people make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only control we have.
Yes. And embracing it all while letting it the flip go at the same time. It is like the most embracing what is there.
Embracing what is and releasing what shouldn't be.
And that is what we're in the midst of at this moment. The meowments, you know, these moments of time that really make us stop to embrace all this change that is constantly happening and celebrating it and relinquishing what is no longer harmonious for the changes that are needed to sprout forth.
Yeah, it's like when you tend the garden in the physical, you take the weeds out and you nurture the seeds that are growing, and it's not a one-time process.
No.
You're going to constantly have weeds that pop up that you have to take and pluck out and remove and relinquish them to the garbage.
Yes, to the compost. And it's allowing the wisdom of the weeds. Weeds do have wisdom. Mm-hmm. Some of them that people consider weeds are great medicine.
And look how they grow.
Yes.
Weeds grow in the most unbelievable places. They find a way to still flourish.
Yes. And the weeds, one of the weeds that has the most duality in my dreamscape is the dandelion.
Yeah.
And the courageous lion of the dandelion is to sprout forth. It does have great municipal medicine. It does create pollination. It does help the soil. It does help the bees. It does help.
But they're a invasive weed.
Yes.
So it's not all about all weeds are bad.
No, they pop up for a reason, to share their wisdom in the wound.
Some are needed and some aren't.
Right. And it's allowing that growth opportunity for anything to pop up in your garden because it does have the wisdom.
And it's up to you to pick what stays and what goes.
Yeah. And to stop and smell the roses along the way. Really allowing yourself to have that qualia. It's not always fun pulling weeds.
No.
However, it is fun to play while you're pulling weeds and allowing yourself to really get to the point of smelling the roses, tending to your own inner garden while you're tending to Earth's garden, and allowing the harmonious conscious of both worlds. And I look forward to celebrating more changes as these changes awaken so many different facets of myself. I am very, very, very grateful that you have given me the opportunity to get to a place that I am getting all of this. The distractions of the old me are fading, and I am embracing this new me that is emerging. And it is an exciting but scary part of the metamorphosis of this journey. It's becoming the butterfly before it takes flight.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's part of that is also the physical.
Yes.
They say that people put on weight for a variety of different reasons. One is physical protection.
Mm-hmm.
It might be subconscious, but the bigger you are, the more weight you have, the more protection you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do feel that the weight was a protection as an empath, filling energies. It was a buffer. It is a blubber suit, mm-hmm, to create a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned down some of these frequencies that are in the world.
But it protected you from others.
Right. And so, but it was.
Or at least mentally, that's how you felt.
Or some kind of.
I felt the same way. I don't feel as physically stout as I once did.
Yeah, because we had a lot of weight to leverage.
Right.
We could really.
And I had to learn that. I was able to learn while carrying that weight, okay, I'm this size, but at least I'm physically stout. You're not going to push me around because you're just not. Now, the trash can being full knocks me off of my feet. I go to move the trash can down to the street on trash day, and the trash can moved me.
Yeah, it's
interesting. And that is not, that was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
And a very strange feeling to take and have to actually put some effort into moving that can. The can moved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having to take and relearn how to look and how to respond to situations like that.
Yeah.
Not having the weight, I there's times where I feel less grounded to the earth. Less physically stable.
Yes. And that is one of those changes that we mentioned is yep. Gravity.
Yeah.
The law of physics has completely changed. We're in a whole new world, a whole new bodies, whole new reflection.
Yep.
So thank you for diving deep into this embrace change and how deep this well could go of wellness.
Well, it's you've given me just as much if not more than I have you. So the fact that you decided to take the journey with me 26 years ago and now a year and a half ago, a completely different journey, and we're still here on the journey speaks volumes to your character and compassion and love as a human being.
Well, thank you. One of my commitments of this reality or life is to be committed. And I am committed to embracing change with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am committed to being in a place of commitment and allowing that to amplify out in wonderful ways. And I look forward to seeing how all of these seeds of opportunity that we are planting in our garden and tending to our garden and lighting the fires. I really love that, is having that fireside time. And
yeah, that's been really nice.
Mm-hmm. That's the other things that we are doing is creating that space to harmonize with the fire, tend to our fire and stoke it up and see what lights up. We will be departing on one of our first adventures, co-flighting out of Houston. We will be departing.
This will be the first time that I have flown since the surgery.
Yeah, I've flown a few times.
So this will be a first for me post-surgery.
Yep, it's a secret mission. We're not saying where we're
going. Yep, yep. Secret mission, and not telling anybody where or what or when or why, but we are doing it.
Yep, we're going to get on our first flight. We're going to go get some wisdom on this flight that will have to do with some art and some history and trying to decode that further. So, mission possible. Here we go.
Yep.
We'll see you on the flip side. Gotta go. Our cat's on fire.